Well, the last few weeks, a couple of months now, we've been looking at the book of Proverbs. And we've been thinking through what some of the Proverbs have to say to us as God shows us how to navigate our way through life. And we're going to think a little bit more about that this morning and think about one particular aspect of that. And in lots of the other weeks, we've collected together Proverbs throughout the book. So we'll do a little bit of jumping around in a little while, looking up lots of different Proverbs to try and collect together something of God's wisdom for us. Let me read a couple of verses in Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, verse 16, if you want to follow it in the Bibles, you can do. Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19. And I wonder if the children can try and listen out to the parts of the body that are mentioned in this verse. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, there are seven that are abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. There, God tells us seven things he can't stand. Seven things that God hates. Anyone remember some of those things? What? Some of them were parts of the body or things we might use our body for. So again, that one of them was the heart. Any others that were mentioned? The feet were mentioned. Yeah, that's a good one. Any others you can remember? So again, the hands. Yeah, well done. Yeah, those are some of them that were mentioned. So they're in Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. He says about these seven things that God hates. And that must be an important thing for us to think about, mustn't it? If we want to be pleasing to God, if we know that one day we're going to meet God, what does God like? What does God not like? Well, here's seven things. God hates a proud look, a lying tongue. That was another one, wasn't mentioned. Hands, I already mentioned, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to run to evil. Six, a false witness who speaks lies. Seven, one who sows discord among brethren. And they relate to different parts of the body, don't they? The lying tongue, the lies of the false witness. The one who sows discord, that's one who spreads rumours. One who gossips. One who tries to break up friends and things like that. Well, those are all to do with our mouths, aren't they? The way we use our words. The way we speak. God says things about that, and we've been thinking about that a couple of weeks ago. Lying and gossiping, hatred, spreading rumours and things like that. God is concerned with the way we use our mouths. Other things are to do with our hands and our feet and so on, our limbs, what we use to do things. We use our arms and our hands to do things. We use our legs and our feet to go places. Well, God's interested in those too. Hands that shed innocent blood. Things we do that are unfair, unjust. The way we use our hands, the way we go, feet that are swift to run to evil. And then there was one more in the middle, wasn't there? Right in the middle, the central one. There we go. Is it there? A heart that devises wicked plans. And that's what we're going to be thinking a little bit more about today. We've thought about a couple of these things before. A couple of weeks ago, we thought about watch your ways. Watch the way you do things. Watch the way you work when you're in a workplace, when you're in a school. Watch the way you spend your money. Watch the way you behave towards other people. And we thought about watch your words, how we use our lips. And we're going to think today then, watch what goes on within. Watch what happens inside you, in our hearts, in our minds. If we want to follow Jesus, we want to follow Jesus from top to toe, don't we? Not just say the right thing, that's relatively easy. We can say the right thing, can't we? Not just following some religious rules in what we do with our hands and the like. Yes, those things are important. But we want to follow Jesus from top to toe. And actually, perhaps the most important place then is right on the inside of us. As we think about our hands and our feet, they're on the furthest away from us, aren't they? Furthest away. Then our mouth, and what about right in the centre of us? Right in our hearts and in our minds. Lots of religions have rules about what you can say and do. Lots of countries have rules on what you can say and do. And God's interested in those things. But God's interested in what's going on inside. The country doesn't make laws about what goes on in your heart. The government's not interested in that. But God is. God's interested in what's going on inside us. It's relatively easy to pretend, isn't it? We can pretend by saying the right things and doing the right things, especially when people are around to see them. But God knows what's going on the inside. And so we're going to think a little bit more about that this morning. Let's sing our children's song, first of all. This one's called Mighty, Mighty Saviour, and there's a bit in it that God's the one who can change our heart within. So let's sing our children's song. Okay, then. No one is good, no one is holy before God. I need someone to cleanse me. If we're thinking about what goes on within, how do you know? What's going on inside you? How would you know? How can we have any idea what it is? Here we are on the outside, but inside us, there are things going on, aren't they, that keep us going. We're thinking about our heart this morning. We're thinking about that. Well, how does a doctor check such things? How does a doctor check if your heart's doing okay? How can they find out what's going on? No one can see it, can they? Not I could undo a few buttons, don't worry. And see your heart and check it. How would you know? How do you know? How would a doctor tell if everything was fine or if something wasn't fine inside you? With a stethoscope and things like that. And I've got a glamorous assistant to come and help just show you a couple of those things that might happen. Who wants to have a little go with one of those? Rachel can show you what to do with them. So what else might you do? So a doctor could listen to your heart with a stethoscope. So you can listen to it. Undo your coat, Ori. You never hear it with that. Put those bits in your ear then. And then pop that. Heart, maybe stick it inside you. You can lift up your shirt and put it there. Can you hear it? Can you hear it there? Yeah, yeah. Do you want to have a try, Mikey?
No.
You don't want it? Can you try and listen? Do you want to listen? You can listen to Elliot's. No, you don't want it? Okay. Yeah, yeah. So you could listen with those. And what else might a doctor want to check? They might listen to your heart. They could listen to your breathing, couldn't they? As you take a deep breath in and out, listen to your lungs and things. Yeah, they could measure your pulse, couldn't they? They want to know how fast the heart is beating, how fast it's pumping blood round the body. So you could do a check with a pulse. And that could be clipped to your finger and it could measure how fast the blood was even going right to the very ends of you. Even to your... Have you had a listen, Isaac? What else might a doctor want to listen to or think about? What other health things... Might some of the grown-ups might know some of the things that they had checked. How do you know if the system of your blood is working properly?
You have that big machine where you put your arm in and it squeezes.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. And one of the other ones that you might be thinking about with the squeezing one is this one, a blood pressure cuff. And so they put it round you and pump it up and that squeezes your arm really tight, doesn't it? Might sometimes do that. And then they listen to hear when the blood's coming back through and they can measure the pressure because of those things. Well, they can measure all of these different things to try and find out those things that no one can see, but the doctor wants to check they're all happening healthily inside your body. And all sorts of other things they might do. They could do an ultrasound. Probably most of you had one done when you were a baby, actually in your mummy's tummy. They did an ultrasound of the womb to check the baby, you were all fine in there. And one of the things they were checking was your heart. As tiny as it was when you were a baby inside your mummy's tummy, your heart would have been a tiny little thing. But with the ultrasound, they could check all the parts there of the heart. and it was working fine. There's a picture of the heart. You can see these four black holes, as it were. They're the chambers of the heart, the way the blood goes in and out of the heart as it squeezes to pump the blood around the body. And they could check that everything's there, that they're opening and closing as they should do, it's pumping as it should do, and so on. Another thing, they could wire you up to an ECG machine. Rachel didn't have one of those in her backpack, but more so in a hospital. You could clip on lots of little wires, effectively, to your skin, over your chest, and they could measure the electric impulses that were making your heart work, or not very well, as the case may be, and to try and see whether everything was working fine in the body, measuring those things, checking the heart was working properly. So that's what a doctor would do to check that muscle, that heart, was working fine. But we also think about the heart. We don't just think about the muscle, do we? We all use the same words to think about what's really us. Now, scientifically, your heart is a muscle. It doesn't have complicated feelings and thoughts and so on. But we use the word like that, don't we? We talk about our heart. We talk about that very center of us, deep within. Our heart, which thinks and feels. It's mostly our mind, really, isn't it? But we sort of think about it being right there in the middle of us. Because it is something that's quite hidden, quite secret in many ways. What's going on within us? And that's what we're going to think a little more about this morning then. Not thinking so much about the muscle that's pumping our blood, but thinking about that part of us right in the very middle. The part of you that's really you. You know, when somebody perhaps would have an illness, they become disabled, they have an accident, before they could use their arms and legs and then they can't. But they're still them. Now they have a disability, a big one, that might be very difficult to handle, but they're still the same person, aren't they? Even if they can't use their arms and legs. And the same, even if you couldn't talk, even if you've got a sore throat and lost your voice, you're still the same person, even though you're much quieter. And if it was a disability, if it's something you had to live with, well, that would be a big thing to live with, but you'd still be the same person. That's what we're thinking about. Who are we really on the inside? What's going on in our hearts and minds? So that's what we're going to think about. We'll look up a few more proverbs about that in a moment. I'm going to hand out some worksheets for the children to do. And you can head back to your seat and give those a go, perhaps with the help of a grown-up. So that's what we've been thinking about so far. Think about those three rings. We put them up before. We want to watch our words. We want to watch our ways. And then today we're thinking, watch what goes on within. Let's look up a couple of verses, Proverbs 21 and verse 2. So we're going to be all in the book of Proverbs, but we're going to move between chapters to collect together some of what the Proverbs has to tell us about our hearts. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Good verse to think about, isn't it? As we come to think about this, we want to watch what's going on within, because everyone thinks they're right. Isn't that true? Everyone thinks their ways are right. But what matters is not what we think. What matters is what God thinks. God weighs it up. He weighs our hearts. He knows what really motivates us, what really moves us. He's the one who says whether we're doing right or wrong. What about Proverbs 15 and verse 11? Proverbs 15, verse 11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, so how much more the hearts of the sons of men? It's a very serious sounding proverb, isn't it? Hell and destruction are before the Lord. God sees them. We don't see them. We often think about them perhaps sometimes. But God sees them. God sees everything. He sees hell. He sees the future. He knows what's going to come when the world comes to an end. He knows the destruction that there'll be then. They're all before the Lord. He sees it all. How much more the hearts of the sons of men? God sees hearts. They're open in front of him. Saying like everything to us, well, our literal heart, it's hidden there, under our skin, inside our rib cage, tucked away. But God sees. And so it is with our thoughts and feelings. There's so many things we think are tucked away, don't we? But everything lies open to God. God sees everything that goes on. Nobody else may know, but God knows. God knows what goes on within. And so how do we know if we've got a healthy heart? There's a lot on that at the minute, isn't there? Lots of public health, trying to encourage people to have healthier hearts. Things like smoking and drugs that can damage the heart. Eating too much fatty foods and things like that. Not enough fruit and vegetables and vitamins and things can make your heart unhealthy. Well, what about when it comes to what God sees? Do we have a healthy heart? Or do we have heart disease? Do we have heart disease when it comes to that center, that core of our being? We're going to look up and think about 10 little things, 10 symptoms, we might call them, like a doctor might look for, to tell if our muscles, our heart muscle was working fine. Well, what kind of things would God look for? What symptoms are there? What should we look for? Let's look up 16, verse 5. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. One of the symptoms is pride. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That's strong language, isn't it? There's one thing in people's hearts that God hates. It's pride. And they won't go unpunished, he says. End of that verse. God knows. God knows about that pride there in their hearts. And yet, is that a symptom we have of heart disease? Are we sometimes so smug, we might call it? Pleased with ourselves? We think we're the best. We think we're fine. It's everyone else who's got a problem. It's everyone else who annoys us and their bad behaviour and their horrible ways of doing things, but we're fine. Our pride. And it's something God hates. Because when we're so proud, we won't admit we've got a problem. We won't admit we need help. We won't repent. We won't say sorry to God, will we? He said, no, 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 I'm fine. We don't back down. Yet we stick to our guns, don't we? Proud in heart. What about another symptom? 18 verse 1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. There's a man who seeks his own desire. We'd call that selfish. To be completely focused on what you desire. That's a problem with our hearts, isn't it? A problem our hearts can have. We seek our own desire. We want what we want. And we're gonna have it. And nothing will stop within our ways. There it is. That's a problem we can have in our hearts. Of being selfish. We think about ourselves, number one. Care much less about anyone else. We know the things that we want. And we're going to get them. And nothing's going to stand in our way. We seek our own desire. What about chapter 14, verse 30? Chapter 14, verse 30. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. What's the symptom he talks about there. It's that of envy. Envy, what is that? That's when we see something else, see somebody else, and we see what they've got, and we're envious. People used to talk about the green eyes of envy. Well, it's when we see something and think, oh, I wish I had that. I want it. It's not fair. It's not fair that they've got that. More money, or a fancy car, or they've got that latest toy, or the latest clothes, or whatever it is. I want that. Envy. And it there is in our hearts. And he talks about it there in that verse, that it brings rottenness to the bones. It's a disease. The disease of envy. It stops us being satisfied. It stops us ever being happy. We're constantly more annoyed about the fact that other people have stuff we don't have. Comparing ourselves to other people. And it eats us away. It says it rots our bones. It's a disease there right in the middle of us. That we're so unhappy with what we've been given and think everyone else has got it better than us. And so on. What about chapter 27 and verse 4? Here's another symptom of a heart disease. 27 verse 4. Wrath is cruel and anger a torrent. But who is able to stand before jealousy? And the one he has in mind there is jealousy. The other ones, you see, anger and that rage, that wrath and so on. Those things you can see. Those things are on the outside. But who can stand before jealousy, he's saying? Because that's something that can be hidden for a bit. He's saying that's even worse than the others. You might think somebody being angry, somebody coming in with their fists all in a rage would be the problem. But actually, he says, no. Who can stand before jealousy? The one you really can't stand with, cope with, is jealousy. And again, that may be something that's very hidden. That can be one of those secret sins, we might call them, that no one else would know, providing we don't get angry and go in with our fists in a rage. No one might ever know how jealous we are on the inside. But God does. God knows. Similar, isn't it, to the envy? It's that seeing what other people have and being jealous, being envious of what somebody else has. Wishing we were them, wishing we were in their position, thinking it's not fair that they've got what they've got and I haven't, whether they're cleverer than I am or more beautiful than I am. Oh, it's just not fair. Jealous with that situation and the circumstances we're in. But it's something that we use the phrase, don't we, that eats away at us on the inside. Can we use the phrase of that disease that we have, that has big effects on our whole well-being, doesn't it? Our whole nature on the inside can be taken up with that envy and jealousy. What about another proverb? Chapter 21, verse 26. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. He's thinking about the lazy man in the verse before, but no, further than that, isn't it? He tells us about those things that goes on. He covets. He covets. He does it greedily. To go together, don't they? Greed and coveting. Wanting more. Wanting what somebody else has. It's funny, isn't it? There's one of the Ten Commandments about that, isn't it? The last one. There are those other commandments in the middle. Do not murder. Do not steal. Those pretty obvious, we might say. Those pretty external things. We might see, at least in the first place, they seem to be. But God's interested in what goes on in our hearts. And God gave us that tenth commandment, didn't he? Thou shall not covet. You shall not covet your neighbor's house and your neighbor's animals and your neighbour's wife or your neighbour's servants or whatever it is. All those kind of things he mentions in those verses. Sounds funny to us to try and covet somebody else's donkey, but we do it in different ways, don't we? We see what somebody else has. We're envious of it. We're jealous of them. We want it. We covet it. We wish it was ours. We greedily want more and more, not satisfied with what God's given us, but always after more, wanting more things, more money, more holidays, whatever it might be for us. What about Proverbs 6, verse 25? Proverbs 6, verse 25. This comes in one of the passages we read before of the father warning his son about adultery. And he says in verse 25, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. Talking about seeing this person, seeing this lady, this young man, seeing a young woman. He says, do not lust after her beauty in your heart. He's talking about a desire, similar to those other ones of greed and things, but this time it's a desire for another person. Desire for a person of the opposite sex. Boy meets girl. Or girl meets boy. They see someone very attractive, someone very beautiful. Whether it's their outward appearance, whether it's their character, their personality. And he says he wants to warn. He wants to warn his son. He wants to warn us. Do not lust in your heart. So that's where the problem is going to start. Before he's done anything, he hasn't done anything wrong. Nothing no one else will notice anyway. He says, don't let it go on in your heart. That lust for that other person, that desire for them, a desire for pleasure, a desire for a relationship with that other person. It starts there in the heart. Don't do it in, don't let that lust develop there inside you. What about in chapter 26 and verse 24? 26 verse 24. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. There in those couple of little proverbs, he's talking about someone who's very good at hiding things, isn't he? The one who hates disguises it with his lips. And verse 26, his hatred is covered by deceit. So there's something going on within. There's hatred. There is somebody they just can't stand. Someone who they just can't get on with, who really annoys them, whatever it might be, that may motivate some of those things, but they just hate that other person. That's something that's going on there in the heart. A hatred. Rather than giving that other person the benefit of the doubt, rather than, yes, recognizing they do rather annoy you, and so on, you find them difficult to deal with, but rather than being patient with them, trying to forgive them, trying to love them, as Jesus would tell us to do, even those who hate us. But instead, they carry on with that festering hatred there, brooding on the inside. How there's seven abominations in his heart, it says, verse 25. It's filled with this intense dislike, this hatred of this other person, perhaps thinking of how they'd like to be rid of them, and so on. It's there in the heart. But it's covered up with a layer of deceit. So there's a hatred there, bubbling away, this intense dislike of this other person, wanting to be rid of them and the like, but it's disguised with the lips, he says. He lays up deceit, sort of builds layers of it, camouflaging it, that hatred there in his heart. Just don't believe a word he says. His hatred is covered by deceit, but it will be revealed in the end. It's known to God, a deceit that no one else would know about. Those layers of camouflage. we can spread. So no one knows what we're really like deep within, but God does. One last proverb, chapter 28, verse 26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Whoever walks wisely will be delivered. He's talking about somebody who's self-confident, who trusts in his own heart. Doesn't trust in God, that's the point. He talks about the one who trusts in God in verse 25 and so on. But there's one who trusts in himself or herself. Completely wrapped up with themselves, self-confident. And yet it's something we're always told, isn't it? And people tell you, isn't it? Almost the moral of every Disney movie. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Do what you think is right. Trust yourself and your instincts and your desires and the like. Be true to yourself and so on. It's the motto. But here the Bible tells us, if you trust in yourself, you're a fool. You're trusting in this heart that's got all these diseases. Why would you be confident in that kind of heart? That's what it's really like. Well, we've been thinking this morning about heart disease. Not the kind you go to the doctor about when he checks your blood pressure and your cholesterol and listens to your breathing and the like. But the heart disease that God tells us about. Those things that are going on within us. How's your heart this morning? That's the question we want to come to. A serious one, isn't it? How are you this morning? On the outside, you look lovely. You've washed and dressed, great. And here we are, together at church. You stand up when I ask you to, and you sit down, and you flick the page in the Bible, perhaps. You look fine. But God knows the hearts, doesn't he? God knows what's really going on. How's your heart? God knows what's going on in it right now. God knows what your heart was up to yesterday and the day before. When you're in bed, when you're at school, when you're at work, when you're watching telly, when you're going to the shops, whatever it might be. What was your heart doing when you were talking with people? When you're playing a game, whatever it might be. And all those things, all those actions you were doing, God could see what was going on in your heart. Every minute of yesterday. Every minute of the day before. What did he see? What did he see deep inside you? Was it envy and jealousy? Was it greediness and coveting? Was it lust? Was it hatred? Was it pride or selfishness, deceit or self-confidence? We thought of 10 symptoms. 10 symptoms of heart disease. People are worried, aren't they? On the news, there's this coronavirus, or however you pronounce it, in China. And people are worried about this virus that's spreading. In lots of other countries of the world now, there's a handful of people with it in other countries outside of China, and they're trying to keep them isolated. They're trying to stop the spread of this virus. But it's too late. We've already got the virus of sin, haven't we? We were born with it. We were born with hearts with the virus of sin. No one had to teach us how to be greedy. When we were a baby, we did it fine. We knew how to be greedy. We knew how to snatch. We knew how to be selfish. No one has to teach you to be lustful. Don't learn it from somebody else, how to hate. They come instinctively. Because we've already got the virus. We were born with the virus of sin. And it's there all the time within us. If we look deep within, If we think about for a moment what God sees that heart that we have. Proverbs 20, verse 9. Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? That's a thought-provoking proverb, isn't it? Who can say it? Can you really have a good look? Listen to your heart with a stethoscope? Listen to what's really going on there? Who can say, I've got a clean heart? I'm fine. When God looks at me, he thinks I'm great. Who can say it? Not me. If we're honest, we know we're not pure from this sin. All of those symptoms are still there, aren't they? In our hearts. Well, as we were singing with the children, there's one who can wash us clean from sin, isn't there? There's one who can give us a new heart within. Let's pause and sing, and then we're going to come think about perhaps some of the treatment of this heart disease. It's number 739, if you want to follow it in the hymn books. Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free. Is that your longing? As you think about those symptoms of the sin virus that you've got, do you want to pray? Do you want to sing? Do you want to pray like this? Oh, for a heart that was free of those things. Let's prayerfully sing together this next hymn. So what would you do if you had concerns about your heart? If you're worried about your health, worried about your physical heart, sort of thought sometimes, oh, I'm feeling so tired and I get out of breath when I walk up the stairs and, oh, got a funny pain in my chest. You'd go and see the doctor about it, wouldn't you? So there's something not quite right with me. So I'm not sure, there's something that's not quite working right on the inside. Even though I can't see it, I can feel something's a bit wrong here. You'd go to the doctor about it, wouldn't you? Well, as we think about these proverbs that show us there is something wrong on the inside, where would we go? Think about all the people who met Jesus, all the problems they had. There was a lame man. There was the man who couldn't see. There was somebody who couldn't speak. There was a lady who was bleeding and so on. You know, all of these people, they came to Jesus. What was often their first thing? They said, Jesus, help me. Is that what we do? Is that what we do? As we think about our heart disease, are we like those who came to Jesus saying, Jesus, help me. Heal me. There's something wrong on the inside. Something I can't fix. Are we those who come to Jesus? Let's look up a couple of proverbs as we think about that treatment for heart disease. Look at chapter 28. Chapter 28 and verse 13. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. When you go to the doctors, you might have to uncover. Like we're doing with the children. You can't listen to your heart if you've got a great big coat on, can you? The doctor can't listen to your heart if you're wearing all these layers. You'll have to take some of that off so the doctor can listen to your heart. Well, we do the same with God, don't we? We cover it up with layer upon layer. We don't want other people to see what we're really like. We don't really want God to think about that either. So we cover it up. But the one who covers his sins, he says, won't prosper. We need to confess and forsake them and find mercy. We need to be honest. We need to go to God. Not covering it up, not just doing more deceit that we thought about before, but honestly confessing those things, forsaking them, really wanting to be free of them. Coming to confess that lustfulness and that greediness and that jealousy and saying, Lord, I want to be free from those. I don't want to do those anymore. I want you to heal my heart. And they find mercy, we're told. And we were talking before about that God sees our hearts, and there are things that God hates. They're an abomination to him, those things in our hearts. But God will give mercy. God will show us mercy if we confess our sins and forsake them and come to him. He's faithful. He's just. He gave Jesus to be the one who would pay for our sins that we might go free. What else should we do with our hearts? Look at the next proverb down. Chapter 28, verse 14. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. If we harden our hearts, it's just making it worse. If we're just covering it up, if we're refusing to listen to God, if we hear some of these things like we've been doing this morning and just brush it off, say, oh, I don't care less about that. Who cares what God says? I'm not interested in that. Or perhaps I'll think about it another time. The one who hardens his heart. They use the same words, don't they, in our medical profession. Hearts that are hard, or arteries that are getting hardened because of too much cholesterol and things like that. They're dangerous. Having hardened arteries and a heart that's all clogged up is dangerous. So it is here. A hard heart that refuses to listen to God. It will fall into calamity. It's a disaster waiting to happen. Instead, we need to be those who are reverent. The book of Proverbs has so much to tell us, doesn't it, about fearing the Lord. Softening our hearts. Not wanting to be hard towards him, but responsive to him. We've got to listen to the doctor, haven't we? We can go and see the doctor, and the doctor can tell us what we have to do. But if we ignore it, it's no help. And so it is when we come to God. If we come to God and listen to what he says and just ignore it, it's done us no good. Happy is the man who's always reverent, who reverently fears God, wants to humbly listen to what God says, wanting to listen to God's diagnosis, wanting to listen to what God would say for this problem we have in our hearts. Being reverent and soft in heart towards God. Well, let's look at a very famous proverb. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. I've looked at this one before, but no harm in one more time. Proverbs 3, verse 5. What should we do then with our hearts? Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Remember before we were thinking about that trust in ourselves? That trust in our own heart? Well, it sort of turns it around, doesn't it? So you need to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not being confident in yourself, not leaning on your own understanding, but realizing you need God. Realizing you need God's help and God's teaching. Realizing you need God's salvation to give you a new heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Elsewhere, not in the book of Proverbs, but elsewhere it will talk about that new heart. That old heart, a stony heart, a hard heart. And yet God, by his Holy Spirit, will give a new heart. That's all we want to pray for, isn't it? We need a heart transplant. We need a new heart. A heart that's not hard, but a heart that is soft towards God. A heart that trusts in him. Have you prayed for it? If you were told by the doctor your heart was rubbish and it wasn't going to last very long, and he had to say, you've got to go on the donor list and wait for a new heart, you'd be praying every day, wouldn't you, for a heart. Thinking, oh, this one, not sure how long it's going to last. Well, you need a heart transplant from God. We need a new heart from him, a heart that's free from sin, as we were just singing. A heart that can trust in him. Are we praying for that? Are we asking God for that miracle? Are we trusting in him with all our hearts? What other advice would the doctor of Proverbs give us? What about Proverbs 7 verse 3? Proverbs 7 verse 3. Well, let's read 2 and 3. Make a bit more sense. Keep my commands and live, as my law is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablets of your heart. You need to teach your heart. You need to teach your heart. We need hearts that want to learn God's ways. And so he's talking about writing it on. You know how you write something on your hand? You don't want to forget. And the only problem is, then wash your hands. Or you just do something and it starts to rub out, doesn't it? And then you've just got this funny smudge and you think, I can't remember what it was at all. We want to write things on our hearts that we won't forget. We want to teach our hearts the right ways. It's talking about a learning process, isn't it? Perhaps the children, when you're learning your spellings, you have to write the same one out lots of times, don't you? Because you're just trying to get it stuck there in your head because you keep muddling up the letters in it. Well, it's the same sort of idea. We want to write things on our hearts. We want to think about what God would tell us, God's ways, his wise ways here in the book of Proverbs. Don't just think about it the once. You've got to look at it again and again and think about it more and more until it's there in your mind, in your heart. Learning God's ways takes time to learn things. We want to write it on so we don't forget until it's there, written on the tablet of our heart. Teaching our heart not to slip back into those normal ways of jealousy and selfishness, but instead responding to God. Similar one, Proverbs 23 verse 19. Nearly finished. Proverbs 23 verse 19. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. We need to be those, you know how we said every Disney movie has the same moral? Follow your heart. Follow, do what you think's right. The Bible would turn it around completely the opposite way. It says you've got to guide your heart. Your heart left to itself would go wherever. It'll go down whatever option fulfills that greed, or fulfills that lust, or fulfills that selfishness. That's where your heart will take you. If you follow your heart, that's where you'll end up. Instead, you've got to guide your heart. You've got to use God's word to guide your heart, wanting God to guide you. Not saying, no, I'm going to trust my heart. No, I'm going to trust God and ask God to change my heart to lead me in the right way. And then last one. Proverbs 4 verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Guard your heart is the last one. Our heart's here in the middle of us, well protected. When God made us, he made us well. And he put this heart, this very important part of our body, tucked right there in the middle, protected by our ribs and all sorts. We keep our heart safe, don't we? Well, we need to guard our hearts. We need to be careful the way we think and feel. We need to be on the alert for those things. Even as we seek to follow God, we're still going to have that jealousy that bubbles up. And that greed and covetousness. It's going to hum there in our hearts still. We need to be those who guard it. Guard our hearts. Protect our hearts. Be careful for the signs of that disease. Wanting to be rid of it. Wanting God to heal us. Bringing those things before the Lord. Saying, Lord, I do trust you. I do want to follow you. But I'm having a problem at the minute. With greed. Or with selfishness. Or with anger. Whatever it is. I'm having a problem. Oh, can you guard my heart from those things? Well, in the Lord Jesus, he's the mighty Saviour. As we were singing with the children, he's the one who can give us that new heart. Is that our prayer? Is that our desire? For a heart set free, a heart free to follow God. Let's sing our last hymn together. It's number 325. Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew.